Let us offer our consecration to the Lord.
Lord, we offer up to you this day as we end our Christmas season on this day and we remember the baptism of the Lord. Let us be filled with your Spirit as we seek to know, love, and serve you. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Well, as you heard, today is the last day of the Christmas season. It obviously begins with Christmas Day. And it continues right on through to the baptism of the Lord. Now, it may vary as far as the dates are concerned, depending on the country you are at. For example, January 6th, of course, is always known as Epiphany. However, January 6th is not necessarily the day that we celebrate Epiphany in various countries, including our own. So the baptism of the Lord ends up coming right after Epiphany. And we have not been in ordinary time since December 1st, which starts again tomorrow for a short time, for a few weeks, and usually about 6, 7, 8 weeks. I don't have the calendar in front of me. And then we go into the whole series of Lent and Easter, and then we get back to ordinary time until just after Thanksgiving. So we're looking at the liturgical year today, and we have the readings that we can see for the baptism of the Lord. Now, the first reading is one of several choices. There are actually four choices you can make. Some of them are from Isaiah, and some of them are from the first letter of John. As you know, my favorite book in the Bible is the first letter of John, and we're going to look at that. And then we're going to talk more about what all that means. Now, the interesting thing about the baptism of the Lord is we always think of Christmas as the birth of Christ, which, of course, it is. But the baptism of the Lord happens when Jesus is 30 years old. And so you have this 30-year difference between the beginning of Christmas and the end of Christmas. Now, there's something else I wanted to add to in light of this. There's a kind of a funny story that a priest told me a long time ago. He's since passed away, but this was during the time of Cardinal Medeiros, and it was the reading was on the baptism of the Lord. It may very well have been the baptism of the Lord. And the seminarian who was reading, or actually would have been a deacon, reading the gospel, was very nervous because Cardinal Medeiros was sitting behind him. And because he was so nervous, he read the reading wrong. And instead of reading that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan by John, he said Jesus was baptized by Jordan in the John. So, and I guess Cardinal Medeiros found that absolutely hysterical because it wasn't done on purpose. He was just so nervous, and that's what he said. So anyway, kind of a funny story about that. But we also look at what is really going on here. First of all, we want to look at the first reading. And the first reading is, I'm taking 1 John 5, 1 through 9. And again, we're looking at the reality of something very powerful. And I'm going to explain why in a minute. It's about if we obey his commandments, we love God. That's how we demonstrate we love God, by obeying his commandments. Now, Jesus came to us, it says, through water and blood, and the Spirit is the witness. And we see all of that showing up in the gospel where Jesus is baptized, and we know that the voice of the Lord says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." But in him I am well pleased. And we look at those powerful realities and then understand that starting next Sunday, we return to year B, and the focus of year B is the Gospel of Mark. Now, that's the first gospel. It's the shortest gospel, but if you read it carefully, and I'm going through it right now, read it carefully and prayerfully, you will find that what is really happening in the Gospel of Mark is Jesus has come in, and he's bringing down walls that were put up that prevented people from coming to know the God who is seeking to have this relationship with each and every one of them. So if you read it from this context and you read what those words are, we can kind of put something together that we're going to discuss in the second part of this episode and understand there's a powerful message in all of that. So we'll be back right after this. You're listening to St. Anthony Overnight, which is part of the Voice of St. Anthony Parish from Alston, Massachusetts. I have a suggestion for you. If you ever want to attend Mass at St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts, you have a standing invitation to our 10 o'clock a.m. Mass every single Sunday. So that's our chanted Mass, by the way. But if you're looking for a church to call home and you weren't sure about how to go about to experience this church, this standing invitation allows you to do that. But you might say, well, what happens with that when the collection basket comes around? I don't want to be sitting there, hands hanging. Well, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Write down the word radio on a piece of paper and put that into the collection. Now, remember, that only goes for St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts, and it doesn't go for any other church or parish, so keep that in mind. So if you don't currently call a local parish home and you want to sit in on a Sunday Mass, this standing invitation is for you. Come on down to St. Anthony Parish, 43 Holton Street, Alston, Massachusetts, 02134. And it's conveniently located just a stone's throw from Soldiers Field Road and the Mass Pike. Well, we're back and we're talking about this powerful reality. See, as I've been reading Mark, now obviously I've read Mark before and I've read, you know, obviously I've been a priest. This is my 31st year of priesthood. And so obviously I've read the Gospel of Mark, but it's always good, especially the beginning of the liturgical year, to look at the entire Gospel all at once. And so part of my holy hour, that's what I'm doing. I've been reading the Gospel of Mark. And one of the powerful things I see there is this powerful move by Jesus to challenge the authorities that had basically distorted the voice of God, so to speak, because they had put in all these rules that helped them, but they didn't put in these rules that led people closer to Christ. So one of the classic examples you'll see is, of course, Jesus healing the someone on the Sabbath, and right away he is chastised for doing that. But that's where he comes out and explains that the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. In other words, there's nothing wrong with doing the healing he's doing on the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, it should be done. But they had such a strict interpretation of the Sabbath and of all the rules that they made the rules more important than the people. And this is a real problem that happens in some religious circles, including in Catholicism, whereas the rule is more important than the people for whom the rule applies. So people will make this rule or they will give this teaching that you go, that's a real misinterpretation of the teaching. Let's kind of give an example. What is the law summed up? Can you sum up the law in two sentences? Yes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. There you go. So if you are following those two laws, you are by default living all the Ten Commandments and everything the Lord calls us to do. But you also have the Ten Commandments that give us a better understanding of following the law. If you're going to love someone, you're not going to steal from them. If you're going to love someone, you're not going to, if you're going to love God, you're going to church, going to go to church on Sunday. And so you're automatically going to act in a way that glorifies what the Lord wants us to do. But if you take it all out of that context and just make a simple rule, then you have a problem. So now you go to someone's house on a Friday during Lent, and you take the rule is that you can't eat meat during Lent, and which is rule of the church, and someone doesn't realize that or didn't make the connection, you were Catholic, whatever the case may be, and you end up going to their house and they make this wonderful beef stew that they worked on all day. And you turn around and said, well, I'm sorry, I can't eat that. I'll have to eat something else. That would be against the law of charity, because it's not your fault that they put this beef stew in front of you, but you are acting in a way that would hurt your host who worked all day and would dismiss your host's work all day. So you wouldn't want to follow the rule in that case. You'd offer it up and you'd explain to the Lord you didn't mean it that way. And in your prayer, because ultimately you want to act in charity. And charity is the higher standard of God's law. You're still following God's law, but charity is the higher standard, not necessarily the letter of the law. That actually happened in a way at the seminary one Wednesday, or Ash Wednesday, they served chicken soup. Just totally forgot. The seminary, yes. Of course, this is 30 years ago, and people went ballistic. I said, what are you going to do? The soup is in front of you. You're not going to throw away. Just eat it and let it go. And some people just, they couldn't do that. They were so upset, and that's not the way the rules are supposed to be. We're going to talk more tomorrow. Have yourself a blessed day. I want to call your attention to Catholic TV, which offers great faith-filled, family-friendly programming 24 hours a day. You can find your cable channel at www.getcatholictv.com, and you can watch online on the free apps or check out the YouTube channel. Daily Mass, Rosaries, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and the Our Lady of Perpetual Help Novena are all available online and on demand. Check out CatholicTV.com.